This is an interview with Edith Pearl Walters for Youngstown State University Coal Mining by Ellen Daniels at 613 East Chestnut, Lisbon, Ohio, on May the 22nd, 1972, at 5:30 p.m. What was it like being a wife of a coal miner?
Well, I don't know if it's any different. He went out in the morning, come back at the afternoon, about 3:30. Three, sometimes. And, of course, I didn't realize unless she told me, you know, how the work was in there.
Did you have to prepare his breakfast pail, breakfast lunch?
Yeah, at that time he carried, I used to can a lot of peaches. He could eat peaches without having heartburn. And I thought of that when you was talking about them. And one time he ate pie, but then it got so that give too much heartburn. Mm-hmm. Different minds, he could eat different. You know, the mm-hmm. air was different in them, mm-hmm. so that he could eat different things.
And did he take sandwiches with him?
Yeah. Just regular sandwiches. He got along well with sausage sandwiches. He liked them pretty well. And ham sandwiches, mm-hmm. things like that. And coffee. He always took his coffee. Pie and cakes and cookies. But mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Now, did you have any problems when he came home with his clothes or anything like that?
Well, not really problems. I guess they were real dirty, but they come clean.
All right. How did
I washed by hand at first.
You mean on the old washboard?
Yeah. When we were first married in 27, he was working in a mine then for a while. And then, of course, that was when the mine closed, right after mm-hmm. we was first married. It's when the mine closed. And then after that, when he went in different mines, the small mines he told you about he worked in, I had the miner's clothes and to wash. But that dirt come out pretty good. But I had to do it by hand for a while. We didn't have enough money to buy a washer or anything. And there were no such things as going uptown and washing them
right.
in a laundromat, you know. There were no such things.
Now, I assume you had to use a big, huge...
A wash tub. I had two of them. It seemed all right then. Yeah. There's very few people had electric ones then.
Did you have your own soap, or did you make your own soap, or was it bought?
A few times. My mother used to do it, so I learned how to do it there, and I made it a few times. But after a while, the flakes come out in the store.
Mm-hmm.
Not too long after we was married, and from then on, I bought flakes or whatever they had, and then it went to powder, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and. I guess stayed the powder. That's what I still use.
Right, right. Now, did you have to soak his clothes for long periods of time?
Yeah, we used to soak stuff more than they do now.
Mm-hmm.
We soak it and pour that water off and wring them through the wringer. We had a wringer. Hand wringer. Didn't have anything to spin them at all, you know, just...
Mine was from the basement first.
Yes, he took those things off and had a shower, bath or something before it came up mm-hmm. to eat. And them clothes, of course. He left them clothes to mine until he wanted them washed, didn't you? Or some of them you left there all the time. Some of the outside pants he'd leave there all the time and then throw them away when they wore out or something.
Rather than having you
mm-hmm.
clean them.
Some I washed, some I didn't. I never thought of it as any other kind of a different kind of a job than... Unless he come home and told me he nearly got killed that day or something, and then that was a little different.
He didn't ever tell you that he nearly got killed, did he?
Oh, yes. More than once. He was riding on a car. It got away from him.
Mm-hmm.
The motor, something happened and got away from him, and it went clear real fast to the end of a hill, wasn't it?
It came to a turn and jumped the track.
And he hit his head real hard. Thank goodness he had the hard hat on then. He wouldn't be here.
Okay, that would be like in Prevlin. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonder he didn't break his neck.
I still got the little hard hat. I'm going to keep that.
Yeah. I assume the hard hat came in about the 40s.
Yeah. I think.
I can't remember any of the dates.
We had them out at Callahan. The people that won them.
I remember your dad and there. Mm-hmm. Of course, after they started paying him by the month, he wasn't there half the time. I mean, he was not at home half the time. He was out there. He had to go out on Sunday, go out on holidays and everything else.
Christmas.
There was no extra overtime or anything, you know. It's different that way. But otherwise, I couldn't see it was any different kind of a job. He'd come home and clean up just like he does now, and we'd forget about the mine if nothing happened. And then he had to study to be the mine foreman. He had to study a good bit for that. He spent quite a long time studying in the evenings to pass that examination.
Oh, in other words, you had to pass an exam?
You had to go. And they have them so often. Mm-hmm. And he went to one that was scheduled.
Mine foreman.
At Columbus. Mm. And passed it. And then they send you papers or something they sent you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you can go anywhere in the state of Ohio and be a mine foreman, see.
Yeah, there's an advantage to that if you want to move.
Yes, if you'd want to. He could have went someplace else, but it was too far away from home. The places that he could have got a job, and they could have paid a lot more than they did here. It paid him to stay here because it wasn't too far away.
Yes.
Both of these jobs were close after he quit the mine. Anything else you'd like to know?
I'm trying to think. You mentioned he got paid once a month. Did you ever go pick up the paycheck, or was
no, it? Not there.
Not there. He always brought it home.
Yeah, he always brought the paychecks home. But I was always the one that handled it, as far as I was concerned. He didn't have any time.
You know, I never made out a check in my life. And she messed them off.
I handled everything. Of course, he's doing it now. I had a stroke, and
yeah.
I can't get out and around as much, and he does a lot of the everything now.
Can you think of anything that, you know,
I was just thinking when you said you wanted to interview me, I wouldn't know what there would be to say any different. He was always pretty tired at night, probably tireder than the average man in an ordinary job. That was one thing that was different.
You didn't have any problems with finances, of course, during the 30s because he was working the coal mines.
After 37. Before that, we did. He was working in some mines. He was working a couple times for himself, but wasn't making too much money. You forgot to mention that you were working in a couple places for yourself with partners.
Mm-hmm.
They were small mines. And people were just doing anything you could to get by. Maybe you wouldn't know. You're too young. But in the 30s, we got married in 27, and that depression happened about 3 years later,
mm-hmm.
or 29 actually, but about 30 when it hit us.
Mm-hmm.
And from then till 37, we had a time. And some of it was in small mines where we just made enough to get by. And
we bought a house in between there, too.
Land contract.
How old was
$10 a month. In a little house up on the hill, up here on Pleasant View, that one the con's in.
Mm-hmm.
You know the
con? Well, of course, it's all built now, you wouldn't know it.
It wasn't that big. Uh-huh. It was just a little four-room house when we had it. And we got our start that way.
That's good.
Paid for it with coal mine, partially.
We paid up in the summer, but in the winter we'd catch up again.
He's like a school teacher. 3 months of the summer, he didn't make any money unless he had another job.
Yeah.
Another type job of some sort. And then it started up again in the latter part of August, maybe, and was all right through the whole winter.
So the banks were kind of used to that, and the places where you...
Oh, yes, they knew.
Oh, yes,
what a coal miner has to go through. They went along with us, everybody seemed to, but we got through. But I must say things are a lot better now.
Yes.
We're retired now.
Yes. Can you think of anything else you'd like to add?
No. If you'd have given us some time, we might have thought of some things.
If you happen to think of something, I'll still have the recording for another week or so.
No, I can't think of anything else I'd want to say. I had nothing against his work as far as that's concerned. Some people might have that sort of job, but I never did. He was mining when I met him. He was in that coal mine he told you about out there when I met him. I knew he was a miner all along. So that didn't hurt me in any way. I think, though, perhaps he wanted me to go in the mine one time and see what it was like. And I suppose if I had done that, I'd have had a different viewpoint. But I wouldn't go in it because I didn't want to see what it was like. And I'd have worried myself sick, maybe. If I had. Yeah, you know, if I'd actually seen the inside. Because low, being low, you know, and I think it was quite often. I would think of it, but it didn't worry too much. Only once in a while when he'd say something about a loose slate or something. I'd say, well, I hope it stays up.
Yeah.
You know, make a wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was my job, too. I had to take care of all the loose slate.
I don't know. Miners, when they work for years, they feel safe, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They go right back in. He does, always did. Even when they had falls.
Safe when you're outside a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree.
They become so used to it. It's a job, and they become used to it, and they just don't think of it. Unless they hear the slate crack real loud. And then they think of it. He's told me about dreaming about hearing the slate crack. You know, if they got working in a place where it's kind of bad. He'd dream about it.
The place would cave in and catch our machinery and stuff up the face, and then we'd dig it out. And there's only one way out, and you'd have to watch that. And that would worry me that we got the slate loaded out.
Mm-hmm.
We had mechanical loaders then, pan line. Like a coal chute, they bolt them together, go up in the room, and that shakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would fall in. Well, we've had 4 or 5 of them do that. And they just go break the pan line alongside where it fell and then start loading that out until they get the machinery all out again.
Mm-hmm.
We did that a lot of times.
Yeah.
And that was my job to watch the post and everything back. But it didn't cave in while they was working. A lot of worry.
And my job doesn't have worry.
That's true.
He,
well, I could tell just when that room was going to fall. I've been there, seen so much of it in the clay bottom. And as soon as them posts would move a certain amount, then that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't schooled for anything else, you know. He hadn't learned anything like another trade of any kind then. Now he's a machinist, but he wasn't then. That way back in those years. And you couldn't get a job. He tried to get jobs at other things at times, but there was no work then. But now now that he's old and retired, he can get a machinist job anywhere.
Yeah, and
fix the
radio too, or television.
Yeah, he can fix radio and television
sure
now.
During that time. But I don't do that no more.
Was you in the mine when you went to that school?
Yeah, 50.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't see him too much around some of that time. He was busy with one thing and another, you know, his work and then hobby or something afterwards. And I just didn't see him too much. Now he's around most of the time.
Yeah.
Well,